following aviation podcast is presented as entertainment, not flight instruction. Though some participants are certified flight instructors, their comments, opinions, and discussions of flying techniques are theirs alone. None of the co-hosts or guests on this podcast are acting as your flight instructor. Please consult your own CFI for guidance on your specific flight training, aeronautical knowledge, and aircraft operation. This is the Stuck Mike Avcast, an aviation podcast about learning to fly, living to fly, and loving to fly.
Well, folks, welcome to the Stuck Mike Avcast, our 2024 edition here at Sun and Fun. This is really exciting for us this year because it's the first year we actually have a booth. And we have the booth for Aviation Careers Podcast, our sister podcast. What we're going to do this year is do some audio interviews, overlay some of the pictures that we got during those interviews. It's really exciting. New airplanes. Busiest ever they've had this year. It's been absolutely wonderful. We're actually on day five. It's on Saturday, getting ready for the air show. They got the Thunderbirds this year. So we're going to talk to some really interesting people, especially a C-17 pilot. I know you will actually enjoy that interview, plus all the others out there and very inspirational people here at Sun and Fun. Don't forget, Sun and Fun is actually formed to help out the future aviators. And a lot of that money goes towards helping people move forward in their careers and in their aviation goals throughout the year. So there's events here all year long. Of course, this one being the biggest one, standing in front of the Waco here. We love the folks. Oh, and by the way, big announcement. We are moved to the north side of the field. If you want to fly in and see us live and say hello to us, you know, make sure you tell us you're coming, but you can actually park right next to our studio. So we'd love to have you come in and say hi. Well, this has been Carl Blair with the Stuck Mike Avcast, and we can't wait to see you in the next episode. Safe flying out there. Take care and enjoy the interviews we have coming up.
All right, this is Leslie Cobble with the Stuck Mike Avcast live here at Sun and Fun 2024. This is the 50th anniversary of Sun and Fun Expo, and I am out on the ramp on the flight line with Flight Master.
Loadmaster.
I told you I was bad at this. With Loadmaster Noah Cummins. And Noah, thanks for joining me today.
Thank you for having me on my own ramp.
Yes. We are literally on your ramp of a C-17. Tell me, Noah, what branch of the military you're with and where you're based and all of those good details.
Okay. So I'm part of the Charlotte Air National Guard. We're the 145th Airless Squadron. I'm part of the 156th Airlift Squadron, 145th Air Wing. I'm based out of Charlotte. We just fly C-17s. Right now we have loadmasters on and some pilots here, all the way from Charlotte.
Awesome. And what has been your experience with flying itself? Are you a pilot yourself?
So I have 45 hours towards a private pilot's license. Hopefully I graduate college May 11th. So then I'm going to get back into that, get that finished up, and maybe apply next year for the board to become a military pilot for the 17.
Thank you.
That's awesome. I know you'll do great with that. Congratulations on the graduation. That is a big milestone. So tell me what some of your duties are kind of on the day-to-day and at air shows like this, and what can people expect when they come to visit the C-17?
So on the 17, Loadmaster's main job is to tie down all cargo. We're in control of all weight and balance to make sure we're not too nose heavy or tail heavy. But at air shows like this, pretty much we show people how rollers work. The whole floor can be converted to kind of tell people it's like a transformer. So here we're showing people like that, bringing out chains, telling them what we do on our day-to-day basis, showing them where I sit on the plane, because a lot of people just assume I'm a pilot because I'm wearing a flight suit, which is cool. I'm not a pilot yet, so I have to let them know, like, loadmaster's duties are just as important as pilots on this aircraft, because without them, we can't fly. Without us, we're not going to take any cargo.
All right, Noah. Well, thank you so much for your service, and what are your long-term goals?
To be a C-17 pilot and to retire happy, I guess. Yeah.
Sounds like a deal to me. All right. Well, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you.
Hey, this is Leslie Cobble with the Stuck Mike Avcast, and I am out here with Stallion 51 with the Crazy Horse. And we are going to be talking about Mustang T6 flights and training. I'm here with Beth Saxon, sorry, Beth, with Crazy Horse. And she's going to let you know where to find them at Sun and Fun, and then also how you can get a flight on a T6.
Thank you very much, Leslie. It's nice to meet you. Our flight operations are out of Kissimmee, Florida, which isn't very far here from Lakeland. And we offer orientation flights in the P-51 Mustang, the T-6, and we also do checkout training and recurrent training in both airplanes. But you have to call, make an appointment to fly in the Mustang. It's right now it's $5,500, but it's roughly a 3-hour experience. It's not a ride, it's an orientation flight, and this is the difference. You're gonna sit through an hour of ground school, then you're going to sit in the cockpit for about 10 minutes and go through a brief. Then the engines will start up, you'll go off flying, you get to fly the airplane about 95% of the time because the airplanes are set up with a dual cockpit, dual control. So you'll come back knowing you flew a Mustang.
That sounds amazing because I know having that type of experience is an aviation bucket list item for so many pilots and even, you know, aviation enthusiasts. Maybe you're not even a pilot yet. Can someone who doesn't have a pilot license come and take one of these lessons?
Unfortunately, in the Mustang, no. You have to have, at minimum, your private pilot rating. You don't need to be current, but you at least need to have that license. The T6, however, non-pilots and pilots alike can fly in the T6.
That's awesome. So that may be something, maybe you're down here for Sun and Fun this week and you want to go to Kissimmee next week and take a break from, you know, all the activities in Orlando and take a ride on the T6. So what else do you offer besides the flight orientation and the rides in the T6?
Well, for Mustang owners or prospective Mustang owners and pilots, we do what was called a checkout program, which is roughly a full week, 10 hours of flight. And then we do checkout training in the T6 as well. And then for Mustang owners, there's recurrent training. So they'll usually come out about once a year or every other year and just kind of go through a refresher course in flying the Mustang.
Awesome. Well, Beth Saxon with Crazy Horse, thank you for joining us today.
Thank you, Leslie. It was nice to meet you.
Hi, this is Leslie Cobble. I'm back with the Stuck Mike Avcast at Sun and Fun 2024. I'm sitting in the 99's house, and I'm so excited to be here. This is my first time to visit the 99's house at Sun and Fun, and I am here with my online 99 sister, Lynn Kaywood. This is the first time we've gotten to meet in real life, and I've just got, as we say in Hawaii, chicken skin about it. Lynn, thanks for joining me today.
Oh, thank you for having me on your little broadcast.
All right. Lynn, tell me how you got into aviation. What inspired you to start flying, and when was it?
I started flying back in about 2001. Nobody in my family except for a brother-in-law flew, and he had been in the military, so I thought you had to join the military to learn how to fly. But I was up in Alaska, and I took a float plane ride, and we landed on this glacier lake, and I said, oh my gosh, this is so beautiful. I have to learn how to do this. This is very cool. So I started dating a gentleman who was a pilot, and I said, I missed my calling. I didn't join the military, and he was had been in the military. He says, no, I didn't learn in the military. I learned at the flight school down the street. You can learn there, too. So that's what got me involved with flying, and I never looked back.
That's so awesome. So what are you doing now? Do you fly for a career or just for fun with your husband?
Well, I started out just flying for fun, and I worked in mortgage banking for many years, and I got an opportunity to take an early retirement back in 2020, and I did that and earned my commercial certificate and then my CFI certificates, and I've been teaching since 2021, and I absolutely adore it.
Oh, that is awesome. So as a fellow flight instructor, I'd love being that career flight instructor. So Lynn, congratulations. At Redbird Migration, a month ago, you were awarded the Flight Instructor of the Year for the Eastern Region. Tell everyone a little bit about that.
Well, AOPA sponsors these Flight Instructor Experience Awards for both flight instructors, but also flight schools. And your students nominate you, both the school and the instructor independently. But I was very, very excited and shocked that I earned this award because I haven't been teaching for very long. but I'm so passionate about it. And we got to go to Redbird. There were seven of us, seven regions that the flight instructors won these awards. And then they awarded an overall flight instructor of the year overall too. But it was such an experience. And it was all based on the feedback given by your students,
which makes it extra special. All right, well, let's talk about the 99s. As everyone knows, the 99s are near and dear to my heart. I have a long heritage, beginning with my grandmother. Talk about what the 99s means to you and how someone can join.
The 99s is a fantastic organization. It's the International Organization of Women Pilots. It's been around since 1929. Amelia Earhart was our first elected president. And so we're coming up on, you know, our 100th anniversary, just like a lot of things that happened in 1929. But it was a grand organization, really created to support women pilots. And there weren't that many. There were only 119 certificated women pilots in 1929. 99 of them started this organization. That's how we got our name. And it's just been the support and the mentoring that I specifically needed too. But we help support all of the young ladies looking for careers, looking to even fly for fun. The later in career life ladies that want to learn how to fly. We have pilots, you know, in their 70s and 80s learning how to fly. It's fantastic. So we're all over the world. There's about 7,000 of us right now. And in order to join, if you're at Sun and Fun, you can come down to the 99's house or to our booth over in A Hangar. We have a booth in the B Hangar up at Oshkosh, or you can go online at www.90-nines.org.
Awesome. Easy to join. And I can't tell you just what an incredible inspiration that you will have if you are a female pilot or looking to learn how to fly with the 99s organization. There are chapters all across the country. In fact, all over the world, you can find a 99s to mentor you, to support you. And what an awesome scholarship program as well. In fact, the 99 scholarships can be found in the Aerospace Scholarships Guide that you can find on the Stuck Mike Avcast and aviationcareerspodcasts.com websites. All right, Lynn, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you.
This is Russ Roszleski reporting for the Stuck Mike Avcast at Sun and Fun 2024, now standing next to Brian Turner of the popular, very popular YouTube channel, Just Plain Silly. How you doing, Brian?
I'm doing good. How are you doing, Russ?
Oh, fantastic. Yeah, your YouTube channel, as far as I know, has tens of listener watchers at least.
Oh, did somebody else subscribe?
Yeah, I did.
Oh, okay. Thanks. I appreciate that.
So Just Plain Silly YouTube channel is mostly satire. It's jokes and poking fun at different aspects of aviation and other things. But how did you get started on this whole idea of this YouTube channel?
It was kind of started by accident. I used to write satirical, I guess, commentary on a flying forum called Pilots of America when I started my aviation journey. A few years into being on that forum and flying, my father purchased a Cirrus, and I started talking about that on the forum, and the forum quickly retaliated against me for not being a real pilot anymore because I was flying a plane with a parachute. And so rather than you get defensive and battle and stuff, I turned my satire into a little bit of Cirrus satire, and then one day I thought, I'm going to make a video about the stereotypical Cirrus pilot that all these people are making fun of, just really intending for it to be on the forum, not even thinking about social media and virality or whatever, stuff like that. And so it got shared on Facebook and other places. And so from there, that video like probably did better than any video for maybe a year. I was like, oh, this YouTube thing's easy. I'll just do that. And then after doing a couple of those, I learned that it is a challenge and a little bit of work. But so it kind of happened by accident. Maybe it's a defense mechanism. I don't know.
Well, one or the other. Either way, you're up to dozens of videos now. How many do you know? Do you have any idea?
200 and change, maybe 250-ish, I think. So it's a lot.
Well, that is dozens.
Yeah, dozens. It's dozens of dozens. And you mentioned that it's satire. So it is. The further I go through this, the more I'm sprinkling in a lot more serious stuff because I was always a hobby pilot. And as you and I have talked about a little bit, I'm starting to think about making that my career, my job. So I've this last year, I got, I got my instrument 2 years ago. I got my commercial, my multi this year. And so now I'm, 200 hours and an ATP rating away from being able to fly for a living. And so I'm trying to incorporate some of that stuff in the channel, and people are actually responding to it. I kind of thought, well, if I do things serious, people are going to, you know, walk away, but I'm finding I'm getting as good a response from that stuff as I do the comedy stuff. So now I kind of feel like I can do whatever I want. So I'm just sort of documenting everything. And if it's funny, it's funny. If it's serious, it's serious. And it kind of is what it is.
So you don't feel like you're losing your way, I guess, in a manner of speaking.
I thought I was going to be when I first started doing stuff like that. And there's some people who have been like, oh, this is turning a corner or whatever. But I also don't care. It's not my job. You know, it's me documenting things and engaging with people and, you know, come to Sound and Fun. And there are a lot of people who are like, oh, this video you did on airspace or this serious thing you did was really, you know, helped me out. And so most of it's like, you just saw the guy come by, thanks for the content. Some people are like, oh, this video is funny. But I get positive responses for the most part from all of it. So I would say it's like 99% positive. And when I do something different, you get the one guy going, oh, you're trying to be flight chops or whatever. And I'm like, you know, I don't care. I'm documenting my journey. So I got my scrapbook when I'm an old man, you know, and then, you know, the rest of the stuff is just kind of the videos that I want to see. I make them and I'm not trying to impress anybody at this point anymore. I think I'm far enough down this path that I'm just kind of doing what I want, and people seem to be okay with it.
Do you have an idea how many numbers of subscriptions and followers and such you have on that?
I have 41,000 and change subscribers. And I don't know views. I don't keep up with the data. I used to look at the analytics, and then I was like, oh, I've got to do this or do that to get. And then I was like, that's not why I'm making videos. I'm not making videos to get people to like me or validate how many people like me this week or next. I'm just having fun.
Well, and bringing in big money, I've heard you tell. So
that's my private jet you're hearing fly over right now. This mic's probably not picking it up. But yeah, no. I don't. Can we talk over this?
Well, we'll find out.
Okay. Okay. We're at an air show. Superimposed a jet.
That's
there.
That's what happens.
I will tell you, it does. With the subscriber where I'm at now, it does pay for my flying. So my flying is 100% right now offset by content creation. So I'm not profitable. I'm break even. And no one should interpret that as like, oh, that's easy, because it's hours and hours and hours of editing and capturing and doing all that kind of stuff. It's not like someone's paying for it all for me, but I do fund my flying 100% through YouTube at this point.
Yeah, I knew that, and that's where I was going for with that. But yeah, okay. So I think that's actually, a lot of people would think, man, that's fantastic. You know, fund your flying, you know, it's almost like free flying, like you mentioned. But no, it's really a lot of work. You get a part-time job and fund your flying if you want it.
Yeah, I could, and it would work less hours, and it would be easier. So I have a family, I have a job, and my editing takes place when everyone's asleep at night. So kids go to bed, wife goes to bed. That's when the editor comes open, and that's when I'm, you know, probably five nights a week, if not seven, editing video at night. And then I capture content wherever I go now, and then I go look at it and go, okay, what's the story? Whereas used to, I would come up with a plan and say, okay, I'm going to go out and tell this story or make this joke. So now I'm going to capture all this sun and fun footage, and then, I don't know, maybe it's going to be the Amazon Prime Air Show or whatever it is that I decide is going to be funny out here. So it's good that I can just be collecting footage, and then, you know, tonight back at the hotel, that's when I'll be editing. And so.
But. Well, I was about to lead into that. So where do you get some of the inspiration for some of your ideas? Are you naturally a kind of a creative person, artistic or something, or is it just you got something going on in that head of yours?
It's probably the latter. Someone asked me that today, and I'm the kind of person who I'm not like, I could never write a stand-up routine. I think I say I'm conversationally funny. Not here at all.
Oh, clearly not.
Thrown off right now by the lot of eye contact and this microphone that's like touching my face. really what it is just stupid stuff pops in my head from time to time, and I write it down in a spreadsheet. And so I've got a spreadsheet with all these stupid things, and then a couple times a week I go to this spreadsheet that now has 500 or 600 things in it, and I'll just go look at them and go, is that a seed I can plant? And then I'll go, okay, I'll take this seed and then see which extremes I can push it to, and then I'll start to put an idea together, write it, and then my wife will say, well, that's not funny, you shouldn't do that, and then so I go find another one. So she's very funny, and she does get, not the final say, but she's definitely right more than wrong when she says that's not funny. But it's just, you know, little conversational humor things that, you know, you say something funny and people laugh, you go, okay, well, that was a funny thing, is there a way that I can, I don't know, take whatever the formula was that got those laughs and parlay it into something that's aviation related and make it grow. So, but I don't ever just sit down and go, all right, I'm gonna write a funny thing today. Not
Well, yeah, we all have stupid ideas that pop in our head, right? But you actually go the next step and write them down and track them and that kind of thing. So that really does seem to be the basis of a lot of your humor, which is fantastic. I know my wife's first exposure to you was a story you posted about you and a ladder and like a broken leg, and there was like a can of paint or something involved. It was years ago.
That was a written blog. So it's actually, it's funny you mentioned that. So I never wanted to be a video guy. I always wanted to be a satirical writer. And so I always wrote, from back in the Pilots of America days, I always wrote funny things. And so I had a blog called Just Plain Silly, or no, that was another blog I had called Brian's Utter Nonsense. that's where that story is from. I like that story, by the way. But so I wanted to write, so I thought, I'm going to write aviation satire. And so I got this blog that I called Just Plain Silly, and I was writing stories over there, and no one was coming to read it. And so I was like, you know what? When that YouTube, those videos that I was posting started to pop off, I was like, I know what I'll do. I'll name the channel that, and then people will search for it, and they'll end up at my blog. I have the exact same 7 subscribers to the blog that I did 10 years ago. And so I was like, okay, I get to write the funny stuff, but I have to perform it too.
That is actually pretty funny. Same 7, huh? Very dedicated. Dedicated, yes. No, it didn't make any way. Well, I'm glad you went from the blog then to the YouTube channel, because obviously much more popular, very, very enjoyable. So you think you're going to be producing something out of Sun and Fun this year?
I am. There may or may not be an IFR air show that I filmed yesterday that's just going to be clouds and a lot of sound effects. There's a couple of different things that I've planted in my brain that I think I can use footage from here. So there will probably be 2 or 3 fun videos, and then some just kind of an overview, a real like serious overview of Sun and Fun.
Well, I look forward to watching. I know your viewers do too. Brian Turner, Just Plain Silly YouTube channel. Thank you so much for joining me today.
All right. Thank you for having me. This is fun.
It's been great. Thank you. This is Russ Roslesky for Stuck Mike Avcast Sun of Fun 2024. This is Russ Roslesky reporting for Stuck Mike Avcast from Sun and Fun 2024, sitting here now in the Gold Seal Ground Schools booth with owner Russ Still. Hi, Russ.
Hey, it's good to be Russ to Russ. It's good to see you, Russ.
It's always good, Russ. Always good to meet another Russ, absolutely. So, Gold Seal Ground Schools, tell us about your products.
Well, we've been online longer than any other ground school, which is some people don't recognize, but we have a full program, private instrument, commercial is coming out soon. And I think the big thing that sets us apart is our lessons are not just static videos that you watch passively. They're interactive. You actually work with the lessons, move things around with your hand. It's very interactive. And there we go, some nice afterburners. I love the smell of aviation, of jet fuel. So, yeah, we're very different because of that. And one of the other things that sets us apart is that we make the instructors part of the game. Instructors can sign up for free. They get full access to all the ground schools. And that way they can work with their students, the goal being to mesh ground training with flight training to make it a more of a comprehensive program.
Yeah, so I think what you just said was key. I mean, so I'm a CFI, and I mean, for other CFIs, we get onto your website and we kind of what become almost like a partner with you, it sounds like.
Exactly, and you have the ability to track and monitor your students. And what this means is that not only can you see whether or not they're taking the lessons, taking their quizzes, you can see what they scored on quizzes. You can see problem areas. You can give them assignments. Let's say you had a primary student and next week you're going to do steep turns. So you say, Bob, next Tuesday we'll be doing steep turns. I want you to take the Gold Seal Ground School lesson on steep turns before you arrive. That way you'll understand the tolerances, what 45 degrees looks like, why it's 1.4 Gs, 1.41 Gs, that kind of thing. And then you, as a CFI, can actually look to see that that student did the assignment.
Oh, I do like that, because, I mean, as you know, it's sometimes really hard, number one, to get people to do the assignments if they're less motivated, and number two, to tell if they even really did, even if they say they did, right? So I like the idea of being able to track. So you said you have a private. You have an instrument, which I think is fairly recent, right? Last couple of years, maybe?
Yeah, instrument came out about a year and a half ago. We honestly believe there's more jet fuel being burned. The instrument program has been out for about a year and a half. I believe it's the best one on the market. And again, that's because it's so comprehensive and includes all these interactive features. We've got full-time 3D animators on staff, so it really looks good. And it's engaging because people don't want to learn anything if it's not fun to learn. So That's what we do.
Yeah, I agree, and especially with the instrument, because you know, a lot of people find that subject matter really, really difficult to understand, and especially with all the changes over the years, right? I mean, if you get an instrument ground school course from more than like a couple of years ago, you're behind.
Yeah, absolutely. We do things like just something as simple as learning to do a read back on a clearance. We actually have it in the lessons where you're given the scenario and then the lesson pauses to give you a chance to write down your response and then click a button and there's your answer so you can see if you got it. So again, it's interactive, lets you try out real world scenarios in the lesson.
And that sounds great. You're also coming out with a commercial course. Any expectation when that's going to be released?
We're hoping to see that a late summer, early fall. Again, it's going to be just as comprehensive as the instrument and private programs. We're already getting ready to work on a multi-engine course. We'll have that by the end of the year as well. So we're continuously adding new content. People will come on and they say, well, I thought I finished up your ground school, but now I come back and I see there's new lessons. Well, that's because we're constantly adding new material. So we keep it up.
Adding new material and, I assume, of course, updating the old material as rules might change and stuff.
That's right. We have a new ACS coming out right now. I wouldn't be surprised if we don't see a new knowledge test supplement within the next year, which means figures on tests will be changing and that kind of stuff. So we absolutely have do a full-time job of keeping the stuff current.
Well, we're at Sun and Fun. Obviously, this podcast is going to come out after Sun and Fun. But do you have any specials going on or deals or discounts or anything like that?
We absolutely do. Now, I'm going to have to ask somebody what the code is. We do have a special here at Sun and Fun. What the heck? I'm going to give it to you now. We've got a special Sun and Fun discount, SNF50, for the 50th anniversary of Sun and Fun. You get $50 off of any of our courses. This is good, I believe, through the end of this month. So you would go to groundschool.com. I would recommend you don't purchase anything without trying it first. So sign up for the free test drive, see if it's a good fit for you, and if it is, use this code SNF50, save $50.
And that end of this month, that would be April, because it's currently, we're doing this on April 12th, just to make sure the listeners know that does mean April. Let's talk a little bit more about the CFI resources, if you would, because I assume you're trying to market to CFIs to get their students to do it. So you got the tracking of the students. What if you have multiple students? I mean, how does it handle tracking of a dozen students? Is it pretty easy to use?
Well, that's a great question, and that's really what we specialize. Our courses have been designed from the ground up to work for instructors as an adjunct to what they already do. And also, we've just added recently full support for flight schools. A flight school can build a hierarchy of jet fuel. I don't know if you listeners can hear that, but I can barely hear myself. That afterburner will be out of the frame here quickly. So a flight school can have an entire hierarchy of a flight school management or chief flight instructors at the top. They are above the line flight instructors with the students at the bottom. So everybody above can look down and monitor what's going on. So flight school owners can see what the flight instructors are doing. The flight instructors can see what their students are doing. And the flight instructors do this through a page in the website called Instructor View. So they'll go through there, they get a list of all their current students, they can immediately look in and see how many minutes they've spent on individual lessons, which lessons they have taken or not taken. They can look at all their quiz scores to see if there's any problem areas, stage checks, all that stuff is available. Everything a student does is archived forever. So at the end of the course, they can see exactly how many hours and minutes they spent in the course. Pretty amazing.
That really is amazing. A lot of utility in there and a lot of benefits for students and instructors as well. Give us the website and any other social media or anything else that you might have.
Okay, so the website is groundschool.com. I encourage every flight instructor. We have, I think, over 3,000 now. It's completely 100% free for instructors. So groundschool.com. We're also big on Facebook, so you can find our ground school pages, and we also have a group on Facebook. Our YouTube channel, I believe, is Fly Gold Seal. I hope I didn't get that wrong, but yes, we have a good YouTube channel, and we've got an Instagram channel we're trying to build too, so go look us up on Instagram.
That's great. Thank you very much, Russ. And as Russ Still with Gold Seal Ground Schools, thank you, Sun and Fun 2024. This is Russ Roslesky reporting for the Stuck Mike Avcast. This is Russ Roslewski at Sun and Fun 2024 for the Stuck Mike Avcast. I'm down here in Paradise City now talking with Bob and Marlene Santum. We're here with the CGS Hawk Single and Ultra. These are ultralights, and the thing looks really amazing. It looks like a lot of fun.
Thank you. I appreciate you stopping by and spending time with us.
Yeah, so I was walking down the street here in Paradise City, and it's very bright. I don't know if you'd call that yellowish green neon something, but it's a single seat ultralight. It looks just like a blast. Can you tell us some about this ultralight?
Yeah, the history of the plane is that this plane's actually 42 years old. We first came to Sun and Fun. The original designer of the plane came to Sun and Fun in 1982, and won Grand Champion for best new design. Went to Oshkosh, won the same awards, and it's just taken off ever since. We bought the single-seat rights of the company 7 years ago, and it was about that time that the ultralight industry itself took off like crazy. So we've been literally busy 7 days a week supplying parts to the 2,600 that are out there flying, and for new kits and factory-built airplanes.
So 2,600 of these things flying, it's obviously a well-tested, proven design.
It has been over the years, and it's got quite a following. Anybody can go on YouTube and look for CGS Hawk single seat and find as many YouTubes as you'd like. And one of the things you'll pretty consistently hear is that the CGS Hawks just fly really well.
So let's see if I can describe it. It's a high wing. It's you are sitting slightly forward of the wing, it looks like, so it probably has fantastic visibility in the thing. It's got a pusher propeller. What kind of engines on this?
We do anything from a 28-horsepower Hearth to a 50-horsepower Hearth. This happens to be a Pollini, which falls kind of in the middle. It's right around 36 to 38 horsepower.
Conventional airplane-style controls?
Yeah, conventional. It's true three-axis control. As a matter of fact, this was the very first ultralight to be one that you did not have to foot launch in 1982. Before then, everything was two-axis control, and you had to foot launch it. This was the very first one to have wheels and a cockpit that you sat in and flew just like a general aviation airplane.
Now, for some of our listeners who may not be fully aware of what an ultralight involves, the ultralight category puts some limitations on weight and speed and maybe some other things. Can you tell us about those?
Yeah, the max speed that you're supposed to do in an ultralight is 63 miles an hour. The maximum amount of fuel that you can have is 5 gallons. The maximum weight, 254 pounds. You're supposed to be under 254 pound limit. If you put a parachute on it, you can get another 24 pounds up to 278 pounds. And the parachute itself only weighs about 15 or 16 pounds, so you can kind of allocate 8 or 9 pounds elsewhere in the airplane and still remain in that legal category.
So this airplane does have a parachute as an option, which seems like a wonderful safety device.
Yeah, it's that life insurance policy that you hope you never use, but it's nice to know that it's there and not used in an engine out situation unless you don't feel that you could land in a controlled manner in a controlled environment. But if you do pull the chute because you don't think you can land safely, it's kind of like you coming off of a 5-foot ladder.
Okay, so now I know some certified aircraft that have parachutes. If you pull the parachute, the airplane is destroyed. Is that the case with this?
Yeah, you're going to do some damage because even if you drop that from 5 feet in the air, you're going to probably break your landing gear. But you typically will have a salvageable airframe. We've quite frankly never had one of the Hawks that we have sold that has had to pull a chute yet. I'm sure there must be some out there over the last 42 years.
Well, certainly. So now this airplane is available. Is it available assembled? Do I have to build it myself? How does that work?
Well, we kind of give you that choice. We prefer that the owner of the plane actually builds the plane. Then they are intimately involved with the airframe itself. There's literally nothing then on the airframe that breaks that they can't fix themselves. However, we will do a factory build option. The lead time is quite a bit longer for a factory build, and we charge $8,500 to do that. So if it's an average of 250 hours, it means our shop rate's about $34 an hour, and my lawnmower guy charges me $85 an hour. So I must be doing something wrong there.
Yeah, that's a very low shop rate, but certainly if you don't want to build it yourself, that is an option. So as I'm looking at the airplane equipped, what are we looking for a ballpark price?
the way this airplane sits without the airframe parachute, with that Pollini engine, 36 and a half horsepower, with those sails, you'd probably be right around $21,000 or $22,000.
Okay, that actually sounds very reasonable, very affordable. If I wanted to run it all the way up to the high end with all the options I could put on it, what would it result in?
Well, probably the most expensive one that we've done is with a Hirth F23 engine that's 50 horsepower, and the owner wanted it fuel injected. As an example, that engine, the Pollini, runs us about $6,000, and that 50 horsepower Hirth was $14,000. So you could approach $30,000 building it yourself. If we build it for you, you could be up in the $36,000, $37,000, $38,000 range with that motor.
Okay, but certainly down in the 20s if you wanted to.
21, 22, exactly the way it sits right there.
So what is it like to fly one of these things?
It's the best flying experience that I know of, and I've been a general aviation pilot since 1990. And I pick and choose these days the times that I fly. I fly first thing in the morning or just before dusk when the winds are light. And flying low and slow is that true flight experience that I enjoy most.
Yes, it's the most like your dreams when you're flying, right? You're not dreaming about flying at 30,000 feet.
It's exactly like the dreams I had when I was a kid.
There you go. Well, thank you. Give us a website or YouTube or anything else you can give, social media, et cetera.
Yeah, our website's cgshawk.net. And we've been around for 42 years. And if you just Google CGS Hawk single seat or you YouTube CGS Hawk single seat, there's mountains of information out there about us.
Well, Bob, thank you very much. This is interesting, and I love this kind of flying. I think it's fantastic. I appreciate your time today. And this is Russ Roslewski for Stuck Mike Avcast Sun and Fun 2024.
This is Tom Frick with the Stuck Mike Avcast at Sun and Fun 24, the 50th anniversary of the Sun and Fun Aerospace Expo. And I'm out on the flight line with a C-17 pilot by the name of Sammy Bledsoe. Sammy, how are you doing today?
Hey, I'm good. How about yourself?
I am doing amazing. Sammy, we just got done with a cockpit tour of your aircraft. And what an amazing bird, man. Tell me about this thing.
Oh, it's a lot of fun. I mean, it honestly flies like a sports car for such a big airplane. I love it. Get to travel all over the world with my friends and do lots of really, really cool missions.
Yeah, I can't believe how big this thing is. It's like, you know, I mean, after we're climbing up the stairs to get up to the cockpit and stuff, and then you actually have a lot of room up there. I mean, you guys got bedrooms and, you know, extra seats. And what'd you call the two seats behind?
So we have left and right jump seats that we call our Lackham and Rackham seats.
Lackham and Rackham seats. Yeah. So, I mean, it's just amazing. What are some of the missions that you usually fly with this thing? So you were telling me a little earlier, you got a couple, you know, there's all sorts of things you do.
Yeah, absolutely. So anything from just a standard personnel move to presidential support. So we've done some combat support as well. We do some actual combat, which I haven't flown in yet, but a lot of different missions all over the world.
That's amazing. So tell me about yourself. How did you get into this? I mean, did you just one day just like show up and said, hey, I want to fly C-17s?
So I actually grew up going to air shows just like Sun and Fun. And my dad is a pilot, so he kind of surrounded me with airplanes growing up. So growing up seeing airplanes, I knew that I wanted to be in the field, but I didn't know where exactly. So thankfully through him, I was able to meet with a lot of different people with different backgrounds. And the one that really stuck with me was actually a friend of ours who flies C-17s for the Guard down in Jackson. So she kind of opened this door for me, showed me all the possibilities, and I was hooked.
No kidding. Yeah, that's amazing. So how about preparation? You know, we talked a little bit about that. I mean, did you do any work beforehand before they let you into a program that would bring you to fly C-17s?
Yes, I did. So as a reservist, we're hired by a specific squadron to fly a specific plane. So because of that, you're kind of marketing yourself to make sure that you're a good fit for them and they're a good fit for you. So myself, just to keep my skills sharp, I would go and fly a lot of general aviation. I'm an instructor on the outside as well. So I just kept flying, and as I was building my ratings on the civilian side, I just kept building connections and then taking some various tests for the Air Force. So there's a couple different tests that you're going to take. One's a practical test, and then one is a written exam, and then also just building up your flight time. Once you have those scores, you're going to build them up into a package, and then that package is presented to the squadron and then to the board to determine if you're going to get hired.
That's awesome. And you know, I was going to ask what somebody else could do to get into it, but that was it right there. That's how you get through it and get your way into a program like this if you're so interested. So what's next? I mean, if you had the chance, would you just fly this thing the rest of your life, or you have other aspirations?
I mean, I love the C-17. I would fly it every day if I could, but the reserves are a part-time job that you can do full-time. But I'll go the airline route and then be able to fly the C-17 as well as go to the airline. So it'll be the best of both worlds, get my fun flying with my friends as well as some more fun flying with the airlines.
And one last thing, if you could tell anybody just one thing to do in aviation, what would it be?
Ooh, one thing to do in aviation, I would just say explore your options. You know, go to the air shows, talk to everybody, go, you know, talk to the airplanes, talk to the aircraft owners, sit inside the airplanes and do everything that you can, because the great thing about aviation is there's a different field for everybody. So you only can figure out what that field is when you go and look for it.
Awesome. Sammy, I really appreciate you taking the time to talk to me today, and good luck, and hope we can see you again here next year, and have a great day. So this is Tom Frick reporting for the Stuck Mike Avcast at Sun and Fun 24.
You've been listening to the Stuck Mike Avcast. Members of the Stuck Mike Avcast may receive compensation for products or services mentioned during the podcast. Compensation may be received in the form of, but not limited to, referral commissions, free products or service trials. Our opinions and views are never influenced by any compensation, and you should always perform your own due diligence before purchasing any products or services mentioned during the show. The Stuck Mike Avcast is an aviation podcast and a Valeri Aviation Corporation production.